Blog Talk Radio.
Anthony Davis is a Los Angeles Laker. That means that the Lakers are back. Just like that. I mean, just like that, the Lakers are back to relevant. It's like the debacle with the trade negotiations for Anthony Davis back in February never happened. It's like Magic Johnson's weird end of the season press conference resignation never happened. It's like his media tour and the revelations of Rob Pelinka being a perhaps not even pathological liar, just an odd businessman. None of that seems to be relevant anymore because they pulled this trade off and they got Anthony Davis, and the Lakers are now an immediate contender, not just in the Western Conference, but in the entire league. They have two of the top, we would say, two of the top eight players in the game between Davis and LeBron James. And so this is a big deal, and I think what's most interesting about it, well, I shouldn't say most, aside from the fact that LeBron James and Anthony Davis are going to get a chance to play together, that would have to be the most interesting thing. But after that, it's how this whole thing came to be. We needed somewhat of the perfect storm for this to go from the terrible situation that it was back in the winter and spring to what it's become now here in the summer. And what I mean by that, this has been discussed already at this point, because, I mean, how do you not acknowledge that Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson's injuries changed the landscape of the NBA? Certainly the landscape of the Western Conference, which is, I guess, most relevant for the Lakers here. The last couple of years, the West has been really messy, right? You've had at least five or six teams that were really good, but none of them quite as good as the Warriors, except maybe the Rockets. The Rockets were the only team last season and going into this season that we thought were challenges to the Warriors. Now, we came to find out that Denver was better than we gave them credit for, and Portland had improved. Or I should say Denver wasn't just better than we gave them credit for. They just developed. You know, their young guys came into their own. And the West seemed to open up a little bit more, even though same result. Golden State back to the finals 5 years in a row. But this is different. This is different with KD going down, with Klay Thompson going down, with KD's future uncertain all the way around between his health and his free agency. We don't really know what the Warriors are going to look like, and they're far from the prohibitive favorite. You might even make the case the Lakers are now. Like, this is that big of a move. And so many different things, like I mentioned before, had to take place for it to happen. There had to be no more Dell Demps taking calls for New Orleans. Magic is calling Dell Demps about a trade for Anthony Davis, and Dell's over there playing Bubble Crush on his phone or something. Like, he had no interest, and it wasn't apparently clear at the time, but we learned eventually he had no interest in trading Anthony Davis at that moment. So you had somewhat of a dishonest negotiator there, and I don't blame Magic for that. You had the fact that it was the middle of the season and Anthony Davis still had a year and a half left on his contract, and just the optics of it, trying to strong-arm his way out of there. You didn't have that element of it this go-around since you'd already gone through that. And then, of course, you've got Dave Griffin in the in the driver's seat now, who is well-respected and well-regarded and was able to negotiate with a clear head. And the fact that the Western Conference opened up made this all the more urgent and important for the Lakers to do right now. Like, it's not running in place behind the Warriors for the next 3 years while LeBron's there. It's not that anymore. Like, there's a real opportunity there. And then, of course, we can't forget about the draft. Or I should say the draft lottery. That hadn't happened yet. Neither of these teams had seen their good fortune in the draft lottery. The Pelicans won the number one overall pick, and the number one overall pick this year just happens to be what we all believe to be a can't-miss prospect in Zion Williamson. And so they have their AD replacement, in theory. It's literally winning the lottery, because they're going to lose this guy, but now they're going to get a guy who they think is of the same ilk. Much more flexibility. I was on record saying at the time that I love the idea of maybe AD changing his mind. What would that look like with Davis still in New Orleans? He didn't want to do that. I get it. 6-7 years, however long it's been, of failure for the most part, I could see wanting to change the scenery. That's clearly what he wanted to do. But New Orleans won the lottery. They get the number one overall pick. Their trade chips are that much greater. The Lakers luck up into the number four overall pick. They've got all of a sudden an asset that they didn't have before. In addition to, and you can make the argument that that asset allowed them to keep one of the kids in Kyle Kuzma. So essentially, this is three prospects and three first-round picks, right? The Pelicans are going to get Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, the number four overall pick in this draft, first-round pick in the 2021 draft, and it's protected to the top eight. They'll get a fully protected 2024 first-round pick, and the Pelicans will also get a chance to swap first-round picks with the Lakers in 2023 and 2025, and I assume that to mean that if – I have to check on this. I guess that means that if the Lakers have the higher pick in either of those years, that the Pelicans can swap it, can take it. Man, that's selling the whole farm, man. Like, the Lakers they appear to be contenders now, but, like, they damn sure better be. They have to be, because they don't have nothing else. I mean, they're fully going all in on these next 3 years with LeBron. And, of course, signing Anthony Davis, who is significantly younger than LeBron, as a franchise cornerstone piece, sets them up to have at least a superstar, albeit Anthony Davis, tall guy, somewhat injury prone. Not sure what his durability is going to look like the further his career goes. But if it works, it should work well. Cornerstone piece. So it is fascinating how this all came to be, because these are not all the same circumstances that we had in February when this thing went south. But it's exciting. It's exciting to see what the Lakers are going to do trying to fill out this roster. They have enough room, enough money for another star. And that's been the discussion ever since this trade was made. What's the domino effect on the rest of the free agent class? Will this convince one of the other free agents to come to L.A. too? Maybe somebody that wasn't considering it before but might consider it now? It's interesting, man. I mean, on the one hand, you look at Kyrie firing his agent, hiring Roc Nation, the ties to the Nets, and his history, you know, being a being from New Jersey, growing up, apparently growing up a Nets fan. That seems and still seems to be a like sort of a match, an intentional match there. But like, does this change things? Like, as I'm recording this, as I'm, this is the reason for my pause. I'm looking on Twitter and I see from Silver Screen and Roll, which is the Lakers SB Nation blog, Kyrie Irving reportedly wants to play with Anthony Davis, and someone close to LeBron thinks Irving is still in play for the Lakers. And I got to say, like, why in the hell would Kyrie want to go play in Brooklyn if, like, he could go play for the Lakers? And I say that both from, like, an optics standpoint, a team standpoint. Like, I would rather live and play for the Lakers over the Nets. I would rather live in L.A. and play for the Lakers than live in Brooklyn and play for the Nets. But also for, like, actual basketball reasons now. It makes sense for him to change his mind, for him to consider changing his mind. Kemba Walker, also a potential target for the Lakers, with this, with all this money that they got left over. The point has also been made, I just heard it made by Dave McMenamin from ESPN, that they're going to have to decide whether they actually want to go after, not whether they actually want to go after a third star, because of course they will, but what is their contingency plan if they don't get that third star? And perhaps do they really want to get that third star? They want to use the rest of that money to flesh out the roster and add some depth. Do you need a third star if you have LeBron and Anthony Davis? And Kyle Kuzma, while not a star, is a fine third best player. Like, I would take Kyle Kuzma as my third best player, especially if my two best players are as good as LeBron and Anthony Davis. So do they need Kyrie? Do they need Kemba Walker? Is Jimmy Butler worth the time? I think the answer is like, clearly, yes. Like, you want to get these guys, but I don't think it's obviously not the end of the world if they don't. And I'm interested to see what they do with the rest of the money and with the rest of the space that they have if they don't get one of those guys. And the truth of the matter is that the Lakers, in large part, lucked into these situations because there were two stars that just happened to want to go there. The Lakers don't appear to be well run. The Lakers don't appear to be a model of stability, consistency, and competence. They don't appear to be any of those things. And yet and still, they've managed to land two superstar players in back-to-back offseason. And so I think it's time to flesh out the roster. Or at least time to look at that. This is a tweet from Red94, which is one of the Houston Rockets blogs that I follow. I hate the Lakers. Quote, I hate the Lakers. They do everything wrong for a decade and fall ass backwards into LeBron. Then they completely bungle that offseason, but end up getting the number four pick they didn't expect to have and a total Celtics collapse and Kyrie departure, and now fall ass backwards into AD. Life ain't fair, man. Life ain't fair. Because that damn sure is what happened. It's what happened, man. The Lakers, to be clear, do not deserve this. They do not deserve all of these good things that are happening to them despite their incompetence. They don't deserve it, but deserve ain't got nothing to do with it. It just does not. And so the Lakers are contenders now. The Lakers are in play for a third star. Oh. And we can kill this talk, because I was hearing a lot of this talk, especially from some Laker fans who got disgruntled and were skeptical of LeBron and his intentions and all that. Trade LeBron. Get rid of LeBron. We shouldn't have signed LeBron. Why we got LeBron up here? LeBron is washed, and LeBron doesn't care, and nobody wants to play with LeBron. That was the big narrative that I kept hearing. Nobody wants to play with LeBron anymore. He's passive aggressive. He can be a backstabber. He tries to sun the younger players. That was why Kyrie didn't want to be around them. He's not the same player he was before. This idea that playing with LeBron is just this huge goal or honor or aspiration is ridiculous, man. It's not something that we should put stock in. Get LeBron up out of here. I was hearing that. I'm close with a Laker fan or two, and I was hearing that loud and was thinking, are you serious? Are you serious right now? LeBron James, the best thing to happen in this organization in a decade, like literally since they won their last championship, LeBron James is the best thing to happen to them. And they're talking about trade him. Why did we sign him? We were better off with these young guys, and nobody wants to come play with him. Now we're crippling ourselves and not going to be able to get anybody to come play with him. That was nonsense. Maybe there's a guy or two that didn't want to go play with LeBron. Maybe there was something more to the idea the guys just wanted to go do their own thing, and it just wasn't going to be LeBron that was going to bring them, which I do think there was something to that. More so than just this disdain for LeBron across the league. But, like, we can kill that now. Because Anthony Davis wanted to go play with LeBron. And there's a possibility that Kyrie Irving might want to go play with Anthony Davis. And he played with LeBron before. And while he didn't always like it, he seems to be over it. Over whatever plagued him. So this idea that LeBron James, that nobody wants to go play with LeBron James, look, maybe, but that's still the damn Lakers. And he's still LeBron James. And just to talk about basketball, I mean, LeBron and AD, a perfect match. Don't throw Kyrie in the mix. That is, they are the favorite. They're the clear favorite if Kyrie shows up. But LeBron and Anthony Davis, you've got LeBron, who is a facilitator and is always looking to get his teammates involved, maybe even to a fault at some point in his career, looking to get his teammates involved. Anthony Davis, the type of guy that doesn't need the basketball in his hands to be dangerous, the type of guy that you can set up and can set himself up. Like, he can do pretty much whatever you need him to do. And if you need him to take over the game, he can do that too. Or at least he's talented enough. We haven't seen a lot of high-pressure Anthony Davis moments given his situation. I suspect that we will now. This is just so great, man. The NBA is just so fun. How about the, one time for the draft lottery real quick, right? Like, I mentioned that earlier, but, like, I don't want to sleep on this. We talk about the lottery and the draft, and every year I feel like one of the popular conversations is, like, how will we change it? Do we need to get rid of the draft? Is the draft fair? And there are certainly strong arguments that indicate or suggest that the draft is inherently unfair and perhaps even unnecessary at this point. But, you know, we dissect these aspects of the game, or of the institution, I should say. And I think we sometimes forget the gifts that they can sometimes give us. Like these quirky aspects of sports where we have drafts and lotteries to get in the draft or for the placement. It's weird as hell, man, but when the ramifications are as such, or when the results are like this, it's pretty damn cool. It's pretty damn cool. Like, the lottery, we thought at the time, was just relevant about because, like, who's going to get Zion? Are the Knicks going to get him? They've been tanking for Zion. Whoever else has been tanking for Zion Williamson. Then the Pelicans get it, and we're like, oh, snap. What does that do to the whole AD situation? Does he stay? Does he go? He's probably going to stay, but where is he going to go? How are the Pelicans going to play it now, having a different regime or a different man running the ship, and with a new chip, new bargaining chip, or a new something to lean on, security blanket, the word I'm looking for. Big day. Big day. And so the Lakers are set up. They're going to be fascinating to watch. The NBA is going to be all the more interesting next year because for the first time, we're going to go into it not feeling like we know who's going to win the championship like we did last year. There was some excitement going in, especially with this impending free agency or this free agency coming up. But we did feel like, and even during the season, when at times the Warriors seemed to be, there seemed to be some tension. They seemed to be bored at times and disengaged. But we always felt like the Warriors were going to be right there and more than likely were going to win it. Now, as the season went on and we saw how good Milwaukee was and how good the Raptors were, and Philly made the trade to get Jimmy Butler and later to get Tobias Harris, and, you know, Boston was right there, and we thought, well, wait a minute, you know, there are a couple of teams in the East that can knock them down. It wasn't until we got further into the season where we thought that. We went into the season pretty sure that this was going to be a three-peat for the Golden State Warriors. Real cool that it didn't turn out to be that from an intrigue standpoint. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to go into this coming season with a whole new mindset about the league. We got no idea. Especially now, since free agency has not hit just yet and all the pieces have not fallen. I'm interested to see what the Pelicans look like. I think that's a playoff team, potentially. I wouldn't say that they won the trade because the Lakers got the best player in the trade, at least as far as we know, right? Like, these draft picks, that's the thing. That's why it's so interesting. We don't know who the hell these draft picks are going to end up being, where these teams are going to fall, what their luck is going to look like, and the placement of these picks. So, like, we don't know what's going to happen there. But from what we do know, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, if he's healthy, if he can come back from the blood clot, Julius Randle reunited with their old teammate, Zion, Drew Holiday, it's a squad. It is. There is some potential there to be interesting. I've already heard people teasing the idea of Lonzo throwing lobs to Zion, and even vice versa. We know Lonzo to be an athletic guard, a guy who can go up and get it and can jump. They're going to be entertaining. Like, somehow they managed to trade their best player and one of the top seven or eight players in the game, and they didn't get worse. And that's a real impressive thing. The Pelicans are not worse after this trade. They are not. And I don't know if I thought that was how it was going to go down even a few weeks ago, even when they got the number one overall pick. Now, again, at that point, we didn't have these injuries. We didn't have the Klay Thompson injury. We didn't have the Kevin Durant injury. We had not seen the Warriors be dethroned in the way that they were, and so we did not have these possibilities, these known possibilities that we had on this day, several days after the finals end. Totally different scenario. Mind blown. The Lakers sold their future for this, man. I hope it works out. I really do. I don't root for the Lakers. I'm a Rockets fan. I'm a Rockets fan, don't root for the Lakers. But I'm also a LeBron fan, so I do root for LeBron. And I'm a fan of history. I'm a fan of the game. And I want this to I want it to be good. I want to see good basketball. I think that this has the most potential for that. You look at any of the other suitors, the free agent class that we have here. Other than Kyrie, I didn't really like a pairing with any of these free agents that we have. Kyrie and Klay. Klay would have worked well. But, like, Kimball Walker, sure. But I'm not sure what that would have done for you. Now, you add it to the situation. Now, that'd be great. But just Kimball Walker by himself, I'm not sure what that would have done for you. Jimmy Butler, great player, but I'm not sure what that does for you or how great or good that gets you. Kevin Durant, a pipe dream, wasn't coming. Kawhi Leonard also seems like a pipe dream, not coming. Anthony Davis, from a basketball standpoint, is the best fit. He wants to be there, and he can play off of LeBron perfectly and take the reins when LeBron is doing his whole rest thing or whatever he likes to do when he disengages. This took some Ramona Shelburne again. I mentioned she wrote that it took some setting aside of egos and hurt feelings or whatever was left over from the failed negotiations from February. It took some putting that aside, and I feel like that wasn't very hard in this situation. Because both teams were able to look and see the potential. New Orleans got a superstar coming in. Let's fill out the roster. The Lakers got a superstar already here and a superstar that wants to pair with them. Let's make that happen. The West is wide open. We can make our run. It's not the same league it was when Magic Johnson quit on us abruptly and went on a media tour, bashing the franchise. The Lakers are actually back now.